On June 6, 1996, at 2:31 a.m., a 911 call would take place at a house in Rowlett, Texas. Once the cops arrived on site, they discovered a window screen in the garage had been cut. The police felt this could indicate an intruder had gained access this way. A search of the area did not locate an intruder, though. Once the house was deemed safe, the paramedics would attend to the victims. From the 911 call, you know the two boys were stabbed to death and Darlie's throat had been slashed. Some feel her wounds were superficial, but the slash had come 2 millimeters from one of her arteries. She'd be treated at the hospital at least 2 days later. The youngest boy and her husband, Darren, was asleep upstairs at the time of the murders. Both of them were unharmed. A video would surface that showed Darlie and other family members holding a birthday party at the boy's grave. The oldest boy, Devin, turned 7 8 days after the murder. In the video, shows her smiling and laughing as she sprays silly string and sings happy birthday.
If you knew Devin and Damon, you would know that they're up in heaven, and they're up there having the biggest birthday party that we could ever imagine. And they wouldn't want us to be down here being sad, even though our hearts are breaking. I know that Devin and Damon would want us to be happy.
Family members would claim there was more to the video that wasn't shown. They said it was a ceremony to honor both boys. Darlie would comment on the video later, claiming that Devin wanted to be 7, and she did the only thing she could do to honor him. She would be arrested and charged with capital murder 4 days later after this incident, and she'd only be convicted of murdering the younger boy, Damon, and not Devin. She would receive the death penalty on February 4th, 1997. This was a quick rundown of the case, and the rest of the information I read on this podcast was written up by Joe Douglas. They have been researching this case for a very long time and believes Darlie is innocent. I'm not saying I agree with all of this, but decided to share all of this on the podcast to help figure out what is truly going on with Darlie's case. Could she honestly be innocent? I will allow you to be the judge of that. The first thing that was mentioned was Darren staged a scene to make it appear there was an intruder. Darren did plan on robbing his own home. He tried to make it appear that he had spread rumors around that he was looking for someone to rob his home. The truth is, Darren told only a few people that, people he knew and trusted. There was no intruder there that heard his plans and decided to rob his house. Darren would never let anyone go into his home when he wasn't there and take his things. I know this because I spoke to Barbara Jovell myself. She admitted he was just staging the scene to make it appear there was a person watching and waiting to rob it. Darlie's mother came forward in 2002, admitted Darren told them he wanted to rob his home. Barry Fife came forward and said Darren spoke to him. He believed murdered his family and left them for dead. Even though Darren tried to claim that he only wrote the affidavit to help Darlie, it doesn't change the fact that his affidavit is true. To further prove the intruder theory was fake, Darren called his sister-in-law, Dana, first thing and asked her to have Barbara Jovell to go over to the house and give that false police statement about the black car. Okay, number two. Darren did have a lot of harsh feelings towards his boys. Darren told a CPS worker that the boys got in the way of his naked mommy and daddy time. Also, Darren claimed that he was loving, caring dad that did things to protect his boys, but evidence proved this was not true. Darren bragged in court how he would park his car on the street just to make it safer for the kids. Darren goes on to further say, I would rather they hit my car than my kids. Really, Darren? Then why did so many neighbors come over and ask him not to park his car there because he was blocking the view of the drivers and making it unsafe for the kids? Darren knew this, yet he testified in court the exact opposite. Number three. Darren used his son's dead body to try to trick the officer into believing he was trying to help his family. Some people have told me that this isn't solid evidence because Darren can just simply say he was in shock. I say the evidence proves for a fact that he was never in shock. Darren was planning and cunning right from the start of that night. Someone in shock does not come into the crime scene and start staging and making excuses for his actions unless he knows what he is doing is wrong. No one in shock just happens to do every single thing they can to do to cause obstruction to the victims getting help. Darren ran past Damon several times over a 10-minute period. First, Darren started CPR on his son, Devin, when he was still alive. He continued for a bit and then told Darlie that there was nothing he could do. Darren then got up from Devin after he heard Waddell pull up. Darren ran upstairs for whatever reason, came back down, and ran right out the front door to delay the officer. He then comes back in and again runs past his living son to go over to Devin to do the second CPR on him when both him and Waddell knew he was already dead. Officer Waddell had no idea about Darren's first attempt at CPR. He believed his attempt on Devin was all legit. He knows the truth now. As if this wasn't cunning enough, he watched and waited until Waddell and Darley turned their backs and left Devin immediately. Speaking as Darren done this, he left after they turned their back. But Officer Waddell turned around and said Darren was gone. He believed he had gone over to Karen's, but we know for a fact he didn't. He knew Darren was bleeding to death. He knew he needed pressure on those wounds, and he left those boys alone. Officer Walling came in shortly after through the front door, and Darren was back in the living room just standing there. Officer Waddell said he told Darren to help his son, and he again went back towards Devin. He did say he believed he tried to help his boys, but now he knows Darren did CPR and already gave up on him and pronounced him dead before Waddell arrived. We know Devin died at about 39 seconds after Darren got to him because Darley is heard screaming that out. Darren then races over to the officers and he stands there arguing with them, trying to convince them that the intruder took off and ran. He kept this up for several minutes until Darley got upset with him. The second the officers went to the kitchen, Darren immediately ran past Damon again and headed towards the front door. Darren wasn't to focus, so not many questions were answered regarding Darren's actions. I've read through all the testimony of the police and medics to keep track of what he was doing. I know for over 10 minutes he could have helped Damon, and he didn't. Darren did go over and get Karen, but it was only after the police and medics had helped all the victims. Darren ran out the front door screaming and acting like he was desperate for help when he knew they were already being taken care of. Karen herself said she didn't understand why he even asked her to go over and help. Darren used Karen and her family for sympathy to make it appear he was the victim. That was obvious to me. Darren was cunning enough to go into her bathroom to show her evidence by washing up. I don't believe for one second he showed any signs of a person in shock. Everything he did was to harm his family. Number 4. Darren blocked the way of the medics trying to get to his sons. Some of the medics said Darren was blocking their paths to get to the boys. Waddell had to get Darley and Darren to sit by the window. It was shortly after that where Darren ran out the door and went to Karen's. Number 5. Darren had the motive and opportunity to hide his bloody pants in the utility room. For some reason, the attorneys during the trial didn't question about Darren's jeans that were found in the utility room hidden between the boys' pants. Number 6. Darren had the motive and opportunity to lose or plant a sock in the alley. I had seen an interview with David Waddell, the first responding officer. He had explained how he arrived at the house and he saw Darren running towards him screaming. He stopped him and spoke to him briefly, and they both came back to the house. He described how Darren came in and immediately ran over to Devin, the second boy furthest in the living room, and did CPR on him. He then said he turned to Darley to help her, and when he looked back, Darren was gone. Darren returned within a minute, but he didn't have Karen with him. I asked Officer Waddell why he didn't bring this up in court. He said he thought it was brought up, but I showed him it wasn't. Darren had left at 2:34 a.m. and had a chance to lose or plant the sock in the alley. Number 7. Darren destroyed evidence by washing up at the neighbor's while his family was dead and dying. I was told I needed to prove that Darren had intentionally tried to obstruct harm. I was told that all he had to do was claim he was in shock and didn't know what he was doing. It isn't just one obstructive thing that Darren did. It was all of them together, one thing after another, to try and interfere with help getting to his family. People in shock don't destroy evidence. They don't wash up the first chance they get. Darren's behavior was calculating. Number 8. Darren already did insurance scams. Darren had quite a history of criminal activity, even though he only admitted to stealing his own Jag and then collecting the insurance on it. There are many other things Darren was suspected of doing. Number 9. Darren did have affairs on Darley. Darren had cheated on Darley before, and he ended up getting herpes. Darley didn't get them. Not sure why, though. But there are a lot of rumors of an affair with Darren and Darley's little sister. I learned some things myself that did lead me to believe there's definitely something going on. They were seen at the house acting out, laughing, and carrying on only 12 days after the murders. Then after Darley was convicted, they were seen acting out again at Six Flags. It appeared life did go on for Darren. Number 10. Darren did lock the dog up earlier so he wouldn't wake Darley and the boys. That dog was known to bark at everything, even family members. He wasn't heard on the 911 tape, and Darren went back upstairs at 2:33 a.m. Darren not only lied about the character of the dog, but he knew the dog didn't bark when he came out of his room because he wasn't in his room. Number 11. Darren lied about Darley staying at the foot of the stairs when he came out of his room. The 911 call proves Darley was not there at the foot of the stairs to give Darren an alibi. Also, there was no blood puddle to prove she was bleeding, at the bottom of the stairs. Number 12. Darren lied in his police statement by saying that he went back upstairs to put his pants on. Number 13. A pair of his jeans with blood on them were found in the laundry room, hidden in between the boy's pants. Darren was asked who did the laundry, and he said she did, but she didn't put those bloody pants in between the boy's jeans to hide them. Number 14. Darren couldn't be excluded from the DNA on the black cap. It is not certain if there were two caps taken from the home or one, but they did go back to the house to retrieve a cap. Sorry. But they tested that cap. Darren couldn't be excluded from the DNA on the sweatband. Number 15. The description Darlie gave the intruder matched Darren. I kept hearing from everyone Darren couldn't have been the intruder because Darlie said it wasn't Darren. She said she saw the intruder. When I read her description of the intruder, I immediately thought it was Darren. She only saw a glimpse of him from behind. He had jeans on, straight longer hair in the back, just like Darren's. The police never investigated Darren because they had said Darlie said it wasn't him. There's no way in hell she could have known because she only saw a glimpse, but the jeans and the hair should have driven the police to start investigating Darren, but they didn't. Number 16. Darren was never investigated. The police admitted 22 years ago, they said again in 2018 they never investigated Darren because they said his story appeared to check out, even though his statement was full of lies. Number 17. Darren stood to gain over $500,000 if she died. Every time the insurance thing came up, they only talked about the boy's insurance of $5,000 each. They never brought up the $500,000 Darren stood to gain if she would have died that morning, meaning Darlie. Number 18. Darlie told Darren the night before the murder she wanted to separate. One of the biggest reasons Darren was not investigated was because he claimed they had the perfect marriage, no money issues, no cheating, no problems. Darren later came forward and admitted Darlie told him on June 5th she wanted to separate. Darren had been cheating on her, and there were several money problems. Once this truth came out, the police should have opened up an investigation into Darren. They were fed false information in the beginning, so they wouldn't investigate Darren. Now they know the truth, they need to investigate him. Number 19. Darren gave Darlie a glass of wine the night of June 5th, and she became tired right after. There was only one glass broken in that house, and that was a wine glass. Darren gave Darlie a glass of wine just before she became tired. The police never took that glass into evidence to test it for drugs. Number 20. Darren had cocaine in his room. Darren was never drug tested, even though cocaine was found in his room. Not enough to charge him, but enough to prove he had cocaine in his room. Number 21. It took Darren over 3 minutes to even arrive on the scene after the attacks on his family. Though this isn't absolute fact, I base this on the doctor's estimate on how long they said the boys could live. They said Devin could live up to 5 minutes and Damon up to 9 minutes. Devin died about 39 seconds from the 911 call. Damon died about 9 minutes after Darlie first dialed 911. This puts the timeline of the initial attack at 2:25 a.m. This is only 10 to 15 minutes after Mr. Gorsuch says he goes upstairs to bed. Darren didn't appear on the stairs until 2:30:15, approximately 5 minutes after the attack. I say it took 3 minutes, giving him an extra 2 minutes. There was no way in hell that dog upstairs wasn't going crazy. He had to have heard something that would have set him off, especially the breed of the dog. Even if he had been locked up in another room, he would have been barking frantically. The dog wasn't locked up at night. He was free to roam the halls, but not on this particular night. Number 22. Darren lied about leaving the house right after Waddell arrived. Officer Waddell didn't testify to Darren leaving the house right after he got there, but he did talk about it in his interview. The information was kept from the jury. Number 23. Darren was the last person with all the so-called stage evidence. Darren was with all the so-called stage evidence in the house. He was the last one near the cut screen. He was the one who claimed the glass table fell on Devin. He went through the house alone at 2:40 a.m. walking near the broken glass in the kitchen. Number 24. He was confronted in court by Davis for lying. Davis brought up many issues with Darren where he kept changing the story. Darren first told Davis the screen wasn't cut in the garage when he was in there late on June 5th. But when he testified, he completely changed that story. Then Dana steps in to say she cut the screen because she smoked in the garage. Number 25. He is living with the woman he cheated on Darlie with. Darren cheated on Darlie with a few women, one of them being with the woman he lives with now. Not to mention, he bought his girlfriend a new set of implants. Number 26. He got herpes, yet Darlie didn't proving she may have not been sleeping with him for a while. Darlie didn't have herpes, but Darren did. Number 27. Darren lied about being the one to bring up Darlie's missing panties. Darlie herself said Darren brought it up, but Darren brought up her missing panties after she was taken out of the house. A medic also confirmed Darren brought it up, but Darren tried to say it was Darlie who noticed them. Number 28. Darren lied about Darlie asking him to find the intruder. Darlie didn't ask Darren to find the intruder. She asked Karen to do that. Darren claimed this thinking it might not take the suspicions off him. Thinking it might have taken the suspicion off him, sorry. But that will wrap up this part of episode 39. Like I said, the beginning was written by me. The rest of it was written by Joe Douglas. I started talking to her a while back, and we finally decided to put this together and do this episode. I'm sorry if I kind of jumbled around there a little bit, but part two will be out here shortly, and like I said, you guys can be the judge of, do you think Darlie's innocent? Do you think her husband, well, I think they got divorced, her ex-husband done it. You know, like I said, Darlie's on death row for it. I have written Darlie, but she never wrote back. But thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.